Our second capstone presentation this morning will be brought to us by Matt Stern. It's entitled Mennonites and Their Tools, Healing Communities for Combat Veterans. Matt has a Bachelor of Music with Piano Performance degree from Christopher Newport University. He's also working on an MBA in the dual degree program. I think you are the first in that regard, the first dual degree student, MDiv and MBA. Matt has also served as director of music at Harrisonburg Mennonite Church since 2013 and has multiple other work involvements in the past. Two areas that are prominent there are banking and music. So Matt, welcome as you present to us.
I'd like to begin with a quote that will inform the rest of this little talk this morning. War, by its very nature, is a communal act. Consequently, the responsibility for creating, sustaining, and preventing the conditions within which war-related moral injury occurs is a culturally shared responsibility. One of the byproducts of being a peace church is being labeled anti-war, and rightly so. Our theology as Mennonites is known for our stance on enemy love, which includes not killing those labeled our enemies. This has led in both fortunate and unfortunate ways to a disconnection with most things military. Mennonites maintain an interesting relationship with the U.S. militaristic culture. One story that comes to mind is of a gentleman who worked for a dairy company in my home area of Newport News, Virginia. And while the church would not allow a member to work for the Newport News shipbuilding, the dairy company that this man worked for would sell milk to the shipyard on a regular basis. I, too, share an interesting relationship with the military. My father is an Air Force veteran and has spent the majority of his career working with or for the military. My mother, my sister, and paternal grandfather all have either worked for or are currently working for the Newport News shipyard, building aircraft carriers and submarines. My maternal grandfather worked at NASA Langley Research Center in the heyday of space exploration, research which would also later inform military technologies. Many of my friends, colleagues, teachers, and church members were either service members themselves or directly related to service members. Yet here I am at a Mennonite seminary. And I'm sure I'm not alone in this interesting relationship with U.S. military culture. Most Mennonites that I know still pay their taxes on a regular basis, and a portion of that goes to military spending. But they would never consider having a job baking parts for M1 tanks. But there may be more connections than we think. This morning, I want to talk about how Mennonite theology and Mennonite communities could be the answer to the struggle of many combat veterans dealing with what's being called moral injury. For the purposes of defining moral injury, it must be compared to PTSD. In reality, many combat veterans who suffer from moral injury will also deal with PTSD. Combat is a particular human experience where a person can be exposed to or be the victim of violence, a cause of PTSD and a fear-based reaction, and be the perpetrator of violence on others, a cause of moral injury and a moral or soul reaction. These two can exist with each other, together in many cases, but they are distinctly different and require different treatments. First, to offer the widely accepted definition of moral injury, Brett Litz and colleagues define moral injury as perpetrating, failing to prevent, bearing witness to, or learning about acts that transgress deeply held moral beliefs and expectations. Author, psychologist, and veteran Jonathan Shea also adds a betrayal by leadership in that definition as well. This is the crux of the difference between PTSD and moral injury. Morally injured veterans rarely mention fear. Instead, they talk about loss or shame, guilt or regret. They had tried to be heroes to protect the weak, to save their buddies, to take the hill. But then they mistakenly killed civilians, forced themselves to drive past wounded children, sometimes missed their moment of truth. The language of moral injury allows for the fact that war itself, no matter how just or good, will leave many of the men who fight it feeling like they've dirtied their souls. And perhaps, for a simple reason, there is just something about killing that bites the conscience and doesn't let go. The wounds combat veterans bring back from the killing fields of war are wounds of the soul. These are wounds of the conscience and wounded relationships between God and man. A soldier's training only prepares them for one part of their journey, and that's heading to war. Soldiers are inoculated against the almost universal rule of not killing another human being. Soldiers are taught reflexive fire methods that reinforce the concept of shoot first and ask questions later. Soldiers are taught to objectify and dehumanize the enemy as a way of easing the emotional sting of killing another human being, to turn that switch off. Soldiers are trained that all you should feel is recoil and not feelings of pity and compassion for taking the life of another human being. Not only does this add to the dehumanization effort, but this also commands soldiers to absolve themselves from the emotions of guilt or shame that could indicate moral culpability for taking the life of another human being. Another major factor, I believe, that contributes to moral injury is the hero myth perpetuated by a society that maintains its position through the force of war. The soldier hero has proved to be one of the most durable and powerful forms of idealized masculinity within Western culture traditions since the time of the ancient Greeks. Military virtues such as aggression, strength, courage, and endurance have repeatedly been defined as the natural and inherent qualities of manhood, whose apogee is attainable only in battle. Celebrated as a hero in adventure stories, telling of his dangerous and daring exploits, the soldier has become the quintessential figure of masculinity. This myth of the soldier hero creates the opportunity for moral injury. Soldiers go into battle fully living into the myth of fighting on moral grounds and defending the cause against evil and injustice. The marketing strategies used to attract young people into the military appeal to this myth, as does our socio-political atmosphere, saturated with the fear that an evil other lurks just out of sight, seeking to destroy us. But then they mistakenly kill civilians, force themselves to drive past wounded children, sometimes miss their moment of truth. The hero myth is quickly shattered when the moral ambiguity of war hits full force. Another significant descriptor of moral injury must be shown in contrast with PTSD, specifically in the treatment. PTSD has a number of clinical treatments that have plenty of qualitative analyses and support to continue their use. You have psychotherapy, pharmacological therapies, eye movement desensitization and reprocessing therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, and more. Yet these treatments are simply designed to treat a fear-based response associated with being the victim of trauma, not the sole issues of being the perpetrator of violence and having to come to terms with morally questionable decisions. PTSD treatments cannot treat what happens to a person when they take the life of another human. A veteran's voice gets much closer to the root of the problem. When I fired 11 bullets at the young man, I knew something had forever changed inside me. I felt a hole within me that had no bottom, an infinite void that could never be replenished. The problem was that as I observed the young man through the sight of my rifle when he was still alive, there was something inside me, a voice that was telling me not to squeeze the trigger. And I knew without a shred of doubt that I should not disobey that voice, and that if I did, there would be serious consequences to face. No EMDR treatment or CBT will fill that void. This is an issue of moral dissonance and a struggle in understanding what appears to be a new relationship between God and man. Here we reach the main issue of the medical model. It cannot address the moral aspects of war, only the clinical. The medical model of treatment is based on the alleviation of suffering as an end unto itself. The reduction of self-described suffering, measured empirically, becomes the primary goal of the clinical encounter. This has led many combat veterans to a sentiment voiced by Tyler Boudreau. When veterans or soldiers feel something hurt inside themselves, there is still only one brand to choose, PTSD. That's not good. It's not always accurate. And it renders soldiers automatically into mental patients instead of wounded souls. Warren Kinghorn explains, "The reality is that moral injury names something that a modern clinical discipline structurally cannot provide. something like a moral theology embodied in specific communities with specific contextually formed practices. And because this is the case, Christian moral theology can offer a depth of context to moral injury that clinical psychology cannot. When talking about veterans, especially combat veterans in the church universal, it would not be the most obvious connection to see Mennonites as a peace church as a natural fit. Mennonites do not have the same connection to veterans and military that many other denominations have. Mennonites have been very active in war-torn areas, offering hope and healing to victims of violence and working diligently and creatively to address the injustices of violence. But Mennonites, I believe, may have missed one group of victims in a war, and that is soldiers. As the evidence surrounding moral injury suggests, the perpetrators of violence in war are victims in a way as well. While the connection of Mennonites and combat vets may seem strange, Mennonite communities in Anabaptist theology offers a very important connection to healing for combat veterans. As discussed above, the Western hero myth attached to soldiers is alive and well in many denominations. In the book Killing from the Inside Out, Robert Meagher writes, "The clergy and their congregations with them, regardless of their faith denomination, rarely perceive the possibility of sin in national service. Most of them long ago accepted one or other versions of the traditional just war theory, regularly revised and recalibrated across the centuries to certify the moral legitimacy of lethal violence, provided certain conditions are met. And many churches are happy to offer their thanks and praise and absolution of soldiers upon their return from combat because of their exception of a just war paradigm. Churches combat the narrative of Vietnam-era vets receiving horrible treatment upon returning to U.S. soil with a projected valorization, a thank you for your service, a no-questions-asked approach that is deeply appreciated by many and deeply isolating for many others. Such practices collapse the space necessary to process the deep moral ambiguity of their battle experiences and lives in war's aftermath. Historically, Anabaptists are the exception to this rule. As Robert Meagher notes specifically, Mennonites can and must start from the theological stance of saying specifically that war is sin without regard to any justifications or theories that may try to say otherwise. This can be eye-opening and provide language for many combat vets who may feel that they have soiled their souls with the taint of war and created distance between themselves and God. Mennonite communities can give the opportunity to live in the midst of the guilt and shame of having committed sinful acts in war. This space is necessary for the combat vet to process what has happened. Warren Kinghorn notes, "Beyond support, though, veterans need a community that is able to hear confession and to meet that confession not with cheery reassurance or avoidant condemnation, but with the willingness to walk with the veteran on the path of reconciliation." Moreover, Mennonite congregations have the opportunity to offer other concepts of masculinity that challenge and deconstruct the Western hero myth by offering the example of the experienced sage or the disciplined pacifist, which allow both the noble intentions of heroism and the horrific realities of combat to simultaneously exist within themselves. Mennonite theology also emphasizes the concept of enemy love, an effort to maintain and reinforce the humanity of those on the opposite side of conflicts. Part of the root cause of moral injury can be the shattering of the dehumanization process of military training. Veterans trained to dehumanize the enemy to enable the act of killing are hit with the stark reality of humanity after the fact, realizing that those they killed were husbands, wives, sons, daughters, fathers, and mothers, just as are the veterans themselves. Nobody wants to talk about the Iraqis. It's always about the troops. But moral injury, by definition, includes the memory of those who have been harmed. Without the Iraqi people, the troops have no moral injuries to speak of, and the only way Americans can fathom the meaning of this term, moral injury, is to acknowledge the humanity of the Iraqis. The two ideas are inseparable. And in the same statement, you can interchange any name with any nation or any people that the U.S. has ever been in combat with. Mennonites have been involved in helping refugees from war-torn nations like Iraq and Afghanistan for decades. Recognizing the humanity of people is at the core of Mennonite theology and can be an excellent starting point for veterans to begin the rehumanization process. Many Mennonite communities are actively involved in resettling refugees. This opens the door to another facet of healing moral injury, repentance and penance. While not a new idea in the Christian realm, this is a concept that has largely fallen out of favor since the turn of the first millennium, thanks in part to the acceptance of just war theory. As Mennonites are already engaged with many refugee communities, this offers an opportunity for combat veterans to work with families from countries like Iraq and Afghanistan, providing a way to literally do penance in service and interaction with these families. Communal discernment is also important to Mennonite theology. This model of communal work is important to the recovery of both the morally injured veteran as well as the community that surrounds him or her. John Howard Yoder's understanding of redemption as being both individual and social, political, and economic plays a key role here. Under the same line of reasoning, sin could be seen as both individual and communal, something that must be reconciled both on an individual level and a communal level. Moral injury reaches farther than just the veteran. It reaches the connected families and communities and requires family and community work for healing. Combat veterans dealing with moral injury desperately need a place where good and evil can exist in tension. They need a two-kingdom theology. Mennonite theology supports the idea that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are vastly different. Though the kingdom of God has come to earth through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the kingdom is not yet fully realized, leaving room for the existence and power of the kingdoms of this world, marked by violence and coercion as means to its end. Veterans have clearly seen the existence of evil within the world, and a theology that is not big enough to address that evil and recognize its existence is of little use. Personally, recognizing, causing, and experiencing true evil provides an enormous challenge for veterans who are taught to believe in a good, caring, and all-powerful God. Recognizing the existence of both good and evil, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world, allows Mennonites to not only recognize the existence of evil in this world, but also to provide a counter-narrative that leaves room for the tension between good and evil. This also leaves room for the discussion of the existence of suffering in the world. From a clinical standpoint, as discussed above, suffering is something to be eliminated at all costs. Yet for the Christian, suffering can play a role in spiritual growth. Kinghorn explains, unlike the clinical disciplines, Christians can name the moral trauma of war not simply as psychological dissonance, but as a tragic and perhaps even sinful reminder that the peace of God is still not yet a fully realized presence and reality. Christian pastoral care of morally injured veterans can be about more than just the relief of psychological suffering. This is a conversation that must find greater footing in the church. To quote an article from the Mennonite in 2008, only communities of faith have the language and understanding to address the core spiritual residue of war and the spiritual hell into which many veterans believe they have eternally cast themselves. We understand confession and forgiveness, grace and mercy, transformation and conversion. We believe that people are more than the worst thing that they have done. We believe that no sin is beyond the redemptive mercy of God. We believe that the ministry of reconciliation and healing is at the heart of the gospel and the work of this church. The community continues in this conversation. On Friday, there will be a presentation as part of the pseudoscience lectures. Somebody's coming from Duke University to speak on moral injury specifically. So this is a conversation that continues even within this week. My challenge specifically is this. It is on the institutional level that the Mennonite church must first wrestle with a way or ways to help veterans dealing with moral injury. We must wrestle with what it means to be communally culpable for war. Eastern Mennonite University and Seminary are uniquely poised to wrestle with and offer such a theology. This cannot be an undertaking of any single entity within the university, but must be a concerted effort between all programs: psychology, nursing, the Center for Justice and Peacebuilding, the Strategies for Trauma Awareness and Resilience Program, the Counseling Program, and the Seminary Program. We must develop a response that is clinically and theologically strong enough to address the war-torn bodies among us. As the veteran population continues to grow at EMU and EMS, we are poised to be innovators in the field of theological and holistic response to a suffering population. It must be a commitment to listen to their disturbing stories, to call them to repentance and extend God's mercy and forgiveness, to help them engage in acts of reconciliation and justice making, to love them and their families into our communities of faith, where we can together learn what it means to be pilgrims on the journey of amazing grace. May it be so.